Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring veterinarian Dr. Debbie White, groomer Joey Villani, news director Lori Brooks. And now, from the Red Barn Studios, here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
That's my scary laugh.
It wasn't very scary. Yeah, it was more creepy.
That's because Ladybug is in costume today. She's practicing from trick-or-treating. And I think you do that because you actually get more candy. And by the way, you're a grown adult lady. You shouldn't be out trick-or-treating or anything like
that. I'm not. My dog is trick-or-treating.
Okay.
And I just have to go with her.
Tell the audience what she's dressed up as today.
Well, you know what? I decided not to put a costume on her. We didn't do a costume this year. She's got lots of costumes. She's been many different things in the past. So this year, I decided to color her.
Yeah. It's different.
It is different because she's white with black spots and her name is Ladybug. So I colored her white red. So now she's red with black spots like a true ladybug.
Now, what did you use for color there? Is it safe, non-toxic?
Yeah. You know, I actually use Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah. The packets of Kool-Aid, red Kool-Aid, because I thought that would be a lot safer. Because
sure.
It won't
Do you
hurt.
You find she's licking herself all the time then?
You know, maybe she does. Maybe she likes the taste. Cherry.
What about you gals? Lori, do you dress up dogs at all?
In small costumes, usually a hat or a bow or something. And then we don't go trick-or-treating, but they are there to help answer the door and give the trick-or-treaters their candy.
Mm. What about you, Dr. Debbie? What are you dressing up the animals as this Monday?
Oh, this year it's going to be the angel and the devil.
I'm guessing that Boss is the devil.
Yes, Boss will be the devil. And I have this cute pair of angel wings my mother made for one of my former dogs. And so I've just got to kind of fit them a little bit to Nikki's bigger body size. But she's going to be the angel. And it's complete with halo and everything, as long as she doesn't try to eat it.
We got to post pictures up at the website so listeners can see that. And, of course, we'd love to hear what you're dressing your animals up. Sometimes they don't like to dress up. And sometimes Halloween just freaks out the animals altogether. There are some animals that really even shouldn't be out on Halloween just because they see people in costumes and they don't know what to make of it. And then, of course, the day after Halloween, get ready, Dr. Debbie.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I can't tell you how many calls we get. And it's really the whole week or two before and after the holiday because people have, you know, candy out. I can remember chocolate-covered espresso beans was a real problem for one year.
Mass
quantities of chocolate will lead to maybe that the least digestive upset. Maybe I'll get some vomiting and diarrhea, but otherwise pancreatitis. My own dog once had the worst chocolate toxicity that had heart arrhythmias, and he was a really sick puppy when he
It takes
that.
A lot of chocolate, and isn't dark chocolate more offensive than the lighter chocolate?
Than milk chocolate?
It is, yeah. So it takes, you know, for milk chocolate or white chocolate, it takes a lot of chocolate to be toxic. With the darker chocolates or baking chocolate is where you're going to get the most dangerous thing, and that's actually what my dog got into was European dark chocolate. Large quantities of it.
Oh, my. And you must have felt like an idiot being a veterinarian. And
thanks, Hal.
Yeah. Well, can you put that any nicer?
Nothing that happens to regular pet owners' animals doesn't happen to veterinarians' dogs. I've had toxicities. I've had cactus attacks on my dogs. It all happens, and we are no different. So.
But it turned out well in the long run.
It did,
okay.
Yes.
Robert Semro, just around the corner, he has 7 Halloween treats to keep your pets safe. 7 Halloween treats to keep your pets safe. And now he does the Listomania every week. Usually it's in the number of 5. So we get 7 this week.
That's 7.
7. Very excited about that. Also on the show today, just a few minutes, you may have seen this video online. I know it's over at our Facebook page at Animal Radio. It's a video of a chicken watching TV. And I think as soon as we saw the video, I said, we got to book this chicken. So we've booked the chicken and the guardian. I understand they're both very vocal, and they'll be on the show with us in just a few minutes to explain her TV watching habits and what it's like to have a chicken in your life. They have a lot of personality.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, more than you probably expect. Also, the crazy doctor, Dr. Ernie Ward. And I say he's crazy because the last time we had him on the show, he locked himself in a car.
Hot car.
A hot car during sweltering temperatures. To find out what it's like if you leave your dog or cat or any animals in the car just for a few minutes in hot temperatures. Mm-hmm. And so he'll be back. Is he doing something crazy this time?
Not as crazy as he did last
not
time.
Not as crazy.
No, but he's got some nice little trivia that he's going to tell us about animals, about cats and dogs.
Oh, very excited about that. Lori, you're working very hard over there. I think that perhaps you have too many news stories. Give us one of them for this hour.
One of them. Oh, you know, near and dear to my heart, senior citizens and animals, of course, and putting them together to make the world a better place.
Ah, I've always believed in therapy animals. Great for the senior citizens.
But these animals might not all be alive.
Huh. Okay. Well, I'm going to stick
talking
around
about
for
dead
that.
Animals, though. Oh, boy.
Okay, that's
okay,
on the
take
way.
Take it away, Hal.
Let's go to the phones. Take it away, Doc. Toll free from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android and BlackBerry. I was told I had to mention BlackBerry because
some people still have
BlackBerries. Wow. Yeah. Apparently. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Sherry. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Good. Well, it's a nice rainy day in Sun River, Oregon.
Sun River is rainy, huh?
I have two little chihuahuas. One is all white and the other one is black. And the black one developed some dry skin, which kind of got flaky, almost like dandruff.
Okay.
And then it started to smell very strongly. I bathed her with some baby soap, and it's a little bit better. She doesn't smell as bad, but I'm just wondering, is it more of a yeast thing, or is it just the dry skin?
Okay, great question. And unfortunately, with a black-coated dog, you're going to notice that dry skin all the more apparently than on your other
right.
dog. And I'm assuming your other chihuahua has healthy skin, does not share the same problem?
Correct. And okay. they eat the same foods. And
is she itchy, scratchy with us?
No, doesn't seem to be. She likes it when I scratch her back, but she doesn't seem to be spending the entire day scratching herself, no. And it's more okay. right at the base of her back.
And then are there any sores or hair loss that she's experiencing?
She's not experiencing the hair loss per se, but yes, I would say that some of it dries to where it's so hard that when I do scratch it off, it will leave a little opening in the skin, but there's not sores before I start to take off
okay.
some of the hard flakiness.
It sounds like in your dog's situation that we do have something potentially medical going on, which is
okay.
different than just a pet that has just flaky, dry skin. And a couple things mm-hmm. that you've said really make me think that. One is that you've described an odor. And
yeah, very strong.
That does definitely make me think of some kind of infection, bacterial and or yeast infection that can be part of that. And then the other thing was the sores or the fact that when you pull off like some of this hair, there's an open spot below there. So mm-hmm. that too would make me think that we have an issue that we need to be addressing. So if I were to see your baby, I would definitely take some skin samples so that I could look at that quickly under the microscope to get a direction. Because you mentioned yeast, and that can be a real problem for some dogs, and it can take a long time to manage that. So we'd want to know what we're up against, whether that's going to need something just topical or if we have to add in an oral yeast medicine as well.
Okay.
Additionally, there's some great products topically that we would use. And if we do think we have an infection, we might tend to go to things that have antibacterial properties. So there's some shampoos and topicals that have a TRIZ component. It's TRIZ EDTA. So it's part of the medical therapy for bacterial infections. Other things we might use are shampoos that contain antifungals like ketoconazole. And there are a lot of veterinary prescription shampoos and topicals that we can use if that is a direction we feel that your pet has. So I think that's going to be really the biggest thing, because all of the other types of things, as far as types of supplements or home remedies, I really wouldn't encourage you to go first with that. We might use those
okay.
to supplement the veterinary care. For instance,
mm-hmm.
a lot of dogs with dry skin or chronic skin conditions, I will put on omega fatty acids or the fish oils, preferably.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a great way to help from the inside to provide good quality quality hair coat and avoid dry skin. Dogs and cats are a little different. They benefit more from the fish oils than, say, from flaxseed oil, which isn't converted as effectively in a dog. So that is an important distinction that we do have with them. But some other things that I often will use might even be things that contain coconut oil. And there, it actually has not so much a moisturizing effect, but it has an antibacterial, antifungal property. So some of the different topicals that contain that, or even using coconut oil as a supplement topically for some of these skin conditions, can be helpful when we're dealing with the infection component of it. So, yeah, I think we got a little bit of work to do there. Now, the other thing that I always like to mention, and you got a young dog, if you know she's only 3-4 years old, but things like thyroid conditions or other hormone problems can contribute towards dryness or a tendency to have types of infections, as does pets that have allergies. Pets that have allergies have a weakened skin barrier, and they will more commonly become they will develop a bacterial or a yeast infection just because that skin doesn't have the resiliency that a normal dog would have.
Is that more prone to the purebreds?
Not necessarily. Some of it is a matter of just an individual basis. I mean, I do see a ton of breeds that particularly have allergies. In my area, we have a lot of Jack Russell Terriers and Pit Bulls that tend to have allergies, especially if they're a little bit more on the white pigmented side. But really, any dog could have an allergy.
Well, it looks like I need to make a trip to my vet.
I think so, yeah. Okay. I hope that baby gets feeling good and that skin gets looking better for you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sherry, for your call. Send your rain this way, will you?
Will do.
This portion of Animal Radio is brought to you by Red Barn. Now in the kibble business with the first 5 ingredients featuring real animal protein. Visit redbarn.com and use the promo code ANIMALRADIO for 10% off your purchase. That's redbarn.com with the promo code ANIMALRADIO. And thanks, Red Barn, for underwriting Animal Radio.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. That's 802-341-4532.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
If you just want to call and say hello, we'd love to hear from you. From the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android, it's a free download. Wow. Halloween just around the corner.
Again?
This is where I always gain, like...
it starts, doesn't it?
You know, it's become a holiday for the adults, I think. You see, less and less kids, and mostly teens, will come to our doors.
Yeah.
That's like older teens.
And the costumes are getting more and more racy for young children. I'm like, oh my gosh, I would never have worn that as a kid.
We saw one this morning was the Kim Kardashian being held for jewelry.
Up, yeah.
Held up for jewelry costume.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and a white robe with a big blingy ring is the Kardashian costume.
Do you, Judy, do you actually dress up too?
No, I haven't dressed up in years.
I know some people, they'll do the matching costumes with their animals.
Yeah, I've always threatened to do that, but I'm not going to paint myself red.
We have a costume contest at our office every year.
Oh, how fun.
So I foot the prize of some sort, and everyone gets into it. We had like 90% of my staff last year that dressed up, so we have a lot of great spirit for it.
What's the prize, Dr. Debbie?
It could be anything from food to movie night, dinner out with Dr. Debbie, you name it.
You have a fun place to work. I wouldn't mind being a vet assistant over there. So if you ever need a little
help. Yeah, I could work. I've worked at vets before. I could work for your office.
In just a few minutes, Robert Semero with 7 Halloween treats to keep your pets safe. And you know, sometimes Halloween's not the best holiday for your pets. You know, if you have one of those pets that freaks out easily, you probably don't want to be letting them out to see all these people in the costumes and acting all freaky-like, because that could scare them.
Yeah, and if you have one of those door dashers, you might want to make sure they're in another room and closed off so that when the front door opens, they don't charge.
Now, you have Nike, the door dasher.
He's a cat that does it. I have to lock him in another room. And I know he likes to dress up with his little cape, but I have to be very careful because he tries to run out the front door. He wants to see everybody.
You have a cat that lets you put a cape on him?
He struts when I put it on him. He knows.
Now, this is debatable. I think he's just trying to run away from the cape.
No, he sits there like he's just king. He loves that cape.
He also thinks he's a dog. He's a little different as far as cats go.
That's true.
Are cats or dogs smarter? Who's the smarter of the species? We'll find out in just a couple of minutes with Dr. Ernie Ward. He's the guy that we had on, I think, a couple of years ago. 3 years ago? 2013. Yeah. I guess he locked himself in a car during hot temperatures outside to see what it's like when you lock your dog in the car. When you run into the bank, when you run into the beauty salon, just for a few minutes and you leave the dog in the car. Temperatures can be really oppressive, up in 110, 20. They can get really hot very fast. So he wanted to prove the point, and he locked himself in a car. And we talked to him then. He's going to come back on this time. I don't think he's going to be as crazy this time.
No. He's not locking himself into anything this time.
That's around the corner. Lori, what are you working on over there in the newsroom?
Oh, a great story about service animals, a special project because, let's say, most service animals are what kind of animal? Dogs, right? Pretty much? Not for this project. It's starting a whole new thing that we're going to study on how this animal will be helping children with special needs.
Okay. Maybe it's a service ferret. I got myself a service ferret.
How did you know?
It has a little badge. It's so cute.
Little vest.
Little
service vest.
Yeah. It says, don't touch this ferret.
I'm working.
Yes.
Hi, it's Alan Cable. Meredith Vieira's got a dog. His name's Jasper. She loves her dog, but her husband, Richard, not so much.
When I hear the word Jasper, every muscle in my body tightens. I expect a hideous shriek, but I rest my case.
So why does Meredith Vieira's dog, Jasper, shriek?
I think he's doing it from a good place, and also maybe there's a little jealousy.
I'm not jealous of the dog. Jasper is very possessive and really thinks he owns Meredith.
Richard's pretty much right.
I don't think that the dog thinks in those terms. I think the dog sees me as his best friend.
Meredith couldn't be more wrong. They're both actually having a good time with this. Richard wrote a book about Jasper.
I can't get into my own bed because the dog won't let me do it.
Perfect animal. Jasper!
Richard's book is called I Want to Kill the Dog. Now, it's just a joke. He doesn't really mean it. It's all tongue-in-cheek.
I would never hurt an animal, but if a meteor landed on his head.
So they're clowning around, but Meredith does know that her dog has a problem.
The dog has a barking problem, but I have long felt that it's not the dog that has the problem. It's we as trainers and we didn't do a good enough job training the dog.
She's right. Too much affection and at the wrong times. This dog obviously thinks he's in charge. Remember what Richard said about not being able to get in his own bed? The dog thinks he's the pack leader. He's taken Richard's spot. He's taken the whole house. So the humans in this house have become the underlings and the dog is ruling the roost. Now you might think, who cares? They're all happy. Dogs are not happy being in charge. It stresses them out. This is why there's only one leader in each pack. Only certain dogs are meant to be leaders. Dogs like to follow. And when a dog that's meant to follow is forced to be in charge because the humans don't take that position, it causes stress and anxiety. Dogs need structure. They need rules. To be happy, they need limitations and boundaries. They need you to be a strong, confident, trustworthy, fair leader. That's how you get a calm, happy dog. Good boy.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
An angry dog owner has filed a claim against the Hermosa Beach Police in the Los Angeles Superior Court. It all started when David Nichols, a quadriplegic, was walking his service dog on the beach. A hotel worker started yelling at him about not cleaning up after his dog. Nichols claimed the job belonged to the hotel worker, and then the hotel worker flagged down the police, who ordered Nichols to stop his wheelchair. What happened next is in dispute, Nichols saying he was forced to the ground by the policeman, and the police report saying that he fell out of his chair during a struggle. Nichols is seeking compensation for what he says was a violation of his civil rights. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. That's 802-341-4532.
This is an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Fear Free. Fear Free takes the pet out of petrified and puts the treat into treatment. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
I'm Lori Brooks. Your next dog, or even your parents' or grandparents' next dog, might very well be a robot. You see, Hasbro has launched a new lifelike robotic dog this month. It's a companion pet pup to go with their companion pet cat that's already been on the market. Now, both are designed to bring comfort and companionship to aging adults. And they say the robotic cat, with its really soft fur, kind of gently vibrates when it purrs. And the puppy will bark and then, you know, cock its head, that little head tilt, when you speak to it. But those are not the only pet robots or robot pets on the market. Hansa Creations sells a collection of interactive cats and dogs of different various breeds, while Paro, the cuddly seal robot, was developed earlier by Japan's National Institute of Advanced Industrial Science and Technology, and it's used as an interactive therapeutic tool in hospitals and senior living facilities all around the world. But the big question, I mean, don't we all love seniors and animals? So are they effective at offering the same health benefits as our real-life animal friends? Mm-hmm. Well, according to a few small studies, they might be, but more research is needed. Still, it looks good now. One of the first studies being done in a nursing home, it showed that a robot companion can be a big benefit to seniors and can even be as effective as a living animal.
Really?
I will get to some things that will, you'll go, okay, that makes sense. But remember, a lot of these people too have, they call it confused, but might have dementia.
Ah.
So it's a different world for them. Another study with the seal robot Paro, they studied two groups of seniors for 3 months, where participants in both groups completed tests beforehand that measured their loneliness, depression, what they thought their quality of life was. And researchers found that loneliness scores decreased in the group that spent time with Paro, the robot seal, but loneliness scores actually went up. Mm. They increased in the control group, and that was a group that had done various things like field trips, they played bingo, and did other social activities while the others were playing with Paro. When interviewed, some of the people in nursing homes said they actually preferred robot pets because they wouldn't have to worry about them if they had to be admitted to a hospital. However, the authors of the study caution that social policies which might make robotic pets more accessible and affordable, such as to socially isolated seniors living in institutional settings, that those policies should be weighed against policies making living animals more accessible and affordable to everybody. You know, in other words, is it going to offset the good that rescuing a live animal might do?
Sure, sure. But I got to, you know, I got to say, if there was, for me, and I'm not a senior yet, or much of a senior yet, I don't think that I would feel any less isolated or lonely from a machine or a robot. But you're saying that the seniors with dementia that probably don't even know the difference, don't even know that this is a robot, they're finding it effective.
Correct.
Well, what about you, Judy? Would you feel less lonely if you had a robot pet as opposed to a live pet?
You know, it's one of those things I couldn't really answer until I was placed in that position. I mean, I guess it would be better than nothing. And I guess I don't know what my mental state would be. And, you know, if I were still sharp, again, I wouldn't have to worry if I did have to be hospitalized, what would happen to the animal. That's always a concern, is who's going to take care of it.
Right. So exactly what you said, Judy, because some of them had to be in their right mind to realize that they would be better off with a robotic pet, like you said, if they have to be hospitalized.
Right. Yeah.
What about the effect? I mean, people have friendships with people on the internet. And not to say that having some connection to someone across a computer isn't significant, even though it's not a living being. So why couldn't a person have a connection to a robo-animal?
Well, because it is a living being on the other side of the computer.
Yeah, but you can't touch them. You can't be
No, but you know there's somebody there that's making decisions to be there with you.
These robotic animals, at least there's something tangible you can touch, you can hug, you can sleep with, you can cuddle.
Something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get a stuffed animal. Jeez.
I'm thinking that our show Booker
yes.
might have to call, you know, Hansa Creations or the National Institute in Japan of their Advanced Industrial Science and Tech.
Can you get Guido on that? Because I think we should talk to them.
Yes, we should.
I'm sorry. I just had to put my two cents in there.
Hey, I absolutely understand. Here's a little bit more. The Missouri University Research Center for Human-Animal Interaction is introducing a new program. I love this. It's called the Feline Friends Project, and that is going to pair children with autism with a cat. And they're going to study the impact that the cat has on the child's anxiety level and social skills. Both are, you know, problem areas for kids with autism or on the spectrum. The center has published several studies that show the benefits that children with autism receive from having pets in the home, like increased social skills, are way up because of the cat. So with this study, researchers hope to find possible benefits that are unique to the behaviors of cats, which we know can be underappreciated by people, right? But, you know, and here's what, you know, dogs are great companions, but many children with autism are really hearing sensitive, noise sensitive to the sound and loudness of a dog's bark. Mm-hmm. And a dog's playfulness can sometimes be viewed by autistic children as aggression. Mm. So you can see where, you know, a calm cat, certainly not a cat that bats and claws a lot, would be good. But experts believe the less aggressive and quieter behavior of cats is going to appeal to the children a great deal. And the Feline Friends Project, by the way, currently raising money to pay for food and other supplies that these cats are going to need throughout this study. So you can look them up if you'd like to be a behind-the-scenes supporter of this kind of research to benefit cats and autistic kids. I mean, how many cats do we have in shelters? So isn't that great?
Uh-huh. Would be good.
It would be a win-win.
I agree, Judy. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Fear Free. The veterinarian isn't typically thought of as your pet's favorite place to go. With Fear Free, that all changes. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
Live at the Red Barn Studios, you're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Hey, Joey, you're a little bit under the weather today. I got to tell folks that. So we're going to be real gentle with you.
Yeah, you guys did a toll on me, that's all. That's all I'm going to say. Everyone's been sick in this studio, and I think I was the final frontier.
I got to tell you, it actually kind of sounds sexy. Kind of has a Barry White thing.
Yeah.
Judy's, of course, very aroused by it, so...
Okay, good.
I hope all the ladies are listening.
I think my voice is sexy right now and sends me, you know, perverted emails. So that'd be good.
Send you their panties.
This is something I've been getting for a long time. Questions, emails, everything. There's a lot of people that the first thing they ask me, and they think because I groom dogs that I know everything else about them, which I want to tell everyone that I really don't. That's why I'm part of the show, so I actually can learn from you guys. But one thing I do know is, when you're looking to buy a dog, and everyone wants to know, well, what kind of dog can I get that doesn't shed? And the best answer I can give them is don't get a dog then, because it's part of the natural process. The dogs that shed, the maintenance in the grooming salon is a lot less than the dogs that don't shed. It's like a double-edged sword. People will go out and they'll get the hypoallergenic dog, so to speak.
Like Obama got, right?
Like Obama got. Yes, you got a Portuguese water dog.
Right.
Which it sheds very little, but it still sheds. And again, I want everyone to know that it does nothing for your allergies, but it keeps the hair out of your house is really all it does. Mm-hmm. The Bichons, the Labradoodles, the Golden Doodles, and all of that. Now, what people fail to realize with these dogs, it's heavy maintenance, heavy grooming maintenance. I mean, Labradoodles come in and we see dollar signs as groomers, and it's a lot of work. It's not a little bit of work. I mean, the dogs have coats that take, 45 minutes to an hour just to dry alone by hand. Never mind the haircut that goes on top of it. And if you're looking at a groomer that's charging you anywhere from $50 to $75 an hour,
Yikes. Well, you can
figure out exactly what the grooming charges are going to be. So what I tell everyone is this. There's a great app, wonderful app called AKC. It's an AKC app, okay? And what it does, it'll tell you about all breeds of dogs, and not only the ones that are registered by the AKC, but also it has a designer breed of unregistered dogs. So it's going to give you all the tips that you need to know about dogs that shed, about dogs that don't shed, about dogs that require a lot of grooming, about dogs that don't require a lot of grooming. Because grooming, which people don't realize, is a big portion of what your monthly total is going to be, besides pet food, besides going to the veterinarian, besides pet insurance and everything else that goes along with it. You actually have to add that in there. And if you're going to get a pet, it's like getting children. You have to factor in everything that's going to go along with it, and grooming's a big part of it. So before you go out, before you get that pet, because the last thing I want to see, and you see it a lot, and you see it usually around the holiday season, is dogs that end up in the shelters or go back to wherever they came from because they don't have a home, mainly because they didn't realize how much the dog was going to shed or how much the grooming costs were going to be.
Right.
Do your research, and then when you can come to the happy medium of what works for you, well, you know what? That might be the dog for you.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. That's 802-341-4532.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. Grab them, bring them around the radio. It's always much more fun to listen to Animal Radio with your pets. You know who we have on the phone? I think it was July of 2013.
I know. I can't believe it was that long ago.
We had Dr. Ernie Ward on. He was locking himself in a hot car to find out what it would be like if you locked your animals in the hot car. And you know, we always say it only takes a couple of minutes for the car to really heat up. You say you're going to run into the bank real fast, and in that time, you could have a very sick and ill pet. You know, fortunately, since Ernie did this stunt, there's been lots of legislation, both in New York and California, mm-hmm. that allows you to break into cars where there's an animal suffering.
Yes.
So I'd like to think that Ernie started that. Doc, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, and I can't believe it's been that long, and you're absolutely right. That video did help change minds, and it definitely touched hearts, and we're on the right path, I believe, to trying to get proper legislation and rules to help us all save pets that we love so much.
Absolutely. Now, do you have cats or dogs at home?
Dogs, cats, fish, hamsters, everything.
Do you think your cats are smarter than your dogs?
Oh, boy. Here we go again, right?
Yeah.
You really want to get me in some hot water with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is, intelligence is a very complex subject. And you know, dogs and cats display their intelligence in different and unique ways. When you look at the actual anatomy of the two species, cats end up on the better side.
Ah.
In fact, they've got over twice the number of neurons or brain cells than dogs. So cats are really, you know, creative. All this extra brain mass is really going to do a couple of things. Number one, I think it helps them avoid a lot of work, because the last time I checked, my dog and cat definitely lay around, and my cat just begs, and, you know, we have to take care of her every need and, uh-huh. and any desire. But they're dexterous, and I think people overlook the fact that a cat is so adept with its paws. I mean, they can grasp objects. If you've ever watched your cat use a food puzzle, which I'm a big fan of,
uh-huh.
you know, reaching down in, they can grasp, and they can fish. I mean, they can climb, they can claw, so it's amazing dexterity. And I've been saying this for, you know, about 20 years, that cats are just one opposable thumb away from planetary dominance. cats have the edge on dogs when it comes to the brain anatomy.
Yeah, well, we know the cat started the internet, but I got to figure this one out. My dog, when I do something that ticks her off, she doesn't remember very long. You know, she's kind of ADD.
A minute later, she's wagging her tail.
She's wagging her tail onto something else, but I piss off my cat. My cat will remember it for years, it seems like. Is there...
And, you know, there's research to back that. And in fact, you know, studies show that cats can retain an event or some information for up to 16 hours, while our poor pooches can only hold that for about 5 minutes. And this is why it's so important. When people, you know, I get this call all the time, and I'm sure you do too, where people say, I came home and my dog messed on the carpet, and I rubbed his nose in it, and I gave him a good spanking. Well, your dog doesn't remember going to the potty 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So it does no good, and this is important for us to understand the psychology and just basic brain activity of our pets, because that tells us how to train them. So coming home, rubbing their nose in it, yelling at them, does no good at all. Your cat, on the other hand, is probably holding a grudge overnight.
Yeah. So if we're training them, we need to reward them if they're doing something proper immediately.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the really important thing of the past 20 years. We know from the research that it is the timing of the reward. So if you're trying to train a dog to sit, it's the gap between the sit and the reward, be it food or praise or a clicker, you know, whatever that reward is, it's got to be nearly instantaneous. And I don't know if you saw this recent research that was published just a few months ago from North Carolina State University, but they actually paired up humans and they pitted them against robots to see who could train a dog faster to sit. And sadly, human beings lost, and it was basically because the computerized robot device was able to dispense the treat faster, more consistently. So I think, you know, we can take a lesson from that, and we can say, look, it's all about the timing. If we want to get better results when we're training our dogs to do whatever, we've got to make sure that we're consistent and delivering those rewards almost instantaneously.
Mm. You know, I noticed Ladybug, the studio stunt dog, when her mom, which is Judy, is away and comes back home, she seems to know a long time before Judy even walks in the door that mom's on the way home. And yet the cat wouldn't care, doesn't care. Somebody's home.
Right. And, you know, this is something that's been studied a lot in the past decade, and we don't understand this uncanny ability of our dogs to detect our presence when we're pulling down the street a quarter of a mile or more away. And scientists don't have it fixed yet, but there may be a relationship to the amount of ferrite, which is a trace mineral in the brain of dogs. And this helps them actually sense the Earth's magnetic field. It's one of the reasons why the funny, you know, pooping on the north and south axis.
Is that for real?
Was coming out. Yeah. And so sometimes they say, look, maybe these dogs are using this extrasensory perception to cue in on your energy. And maybe that's how they tell. But I'm like you. I don't know how it happens, but I know that my dogs are there waiting for me. And I've gotten the GoPro out and proven this to my wife because they're out there about 5 minutes before we show up at the door waiting.
Listen, you got a website, and we're out of time, and I always have so much fun with you, but I want to send listeners to a website where they can learn a little more about Dr. Ernie Ward.
You bet. Certainly the website is drernieward.com. I've got a YouTube channel. We've got all kind of fun videos of me traveling around the world, talking to different vets and tackling different problems. So check out on YouTube, Dr. Ernie Ward, but certainly the website is drernieward.com.
Let's not wait too long till we visit again.
That's right. Maybe we'll solve once and for all this how and why do dogs poop in certain places.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear Free Pets, taking the pet out of petrified. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com.
Start your dog's daily dental routine with Red Barn's new dental treats, Chewables. Thoughtfully designed with ridges and grooves to help control plaque and tartar buildup in between your dog's dental vet visits. Chewables are natural, easily digestible, and your dog will love them. Red Barn Chewables, the tastiest way to brush your dog's teeth. Learn more at redbarn.com today.
Use the promo code ANIMALRADIO and you'll get 10% off your purchase.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring veterinarian Dr. Debbie White, groomer Joey Villani, news director Lori Brooks. And now, from the Red Barn Studios, here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Well, this hour we're going to talk to the chicken and perhaps the guardian, too, that watches TV. Now, I understand the chicken, you've seen this viral video, I'm sure. If you haven't, head on over to her. The chicken watches TV.
Yeah, and we're having the guardian on so she can translate for the chicken.
Well, okay. I understand the chicken talks a lot.
Well, she does, but the guardian understands her, so she has to translate because she speaks chicken.
Now, you've had a chance to sit chickens before.
I have.
Yes, it's because you pet sit all kinds of animals.
And I pet sit chickens.
And what's that
like? But you don't sit on their eggs, do
no,
you?
Do you?
No, no, no. I let them do that. The chickens that I watch are very friendly. I can pick them up, and they'll stand on my lap, and I can pet them and hold them, and they're very friendly, and they follow me around. And
do you think they have personalities?
They do. They're, you know, there's six at this one place I watch, and they're all different.
Well, I'm very curious to find out what this chicken watches on TV.
Does it have a preference?
Yeah, there might be certain shows that the chicken...
Reality,
what's the chicken's name? Strawberry.
Strawberry.
Yes. Okay, so that's on the way this hour in just a couple of minutes. We're going to go to the phones for your calls. Also, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to do a quick check of the news with Miss Lori Brooks. Our Miss Brooks, what are you working on for this hour?
Well, you know, when kids go off to college, they tend to get homesick. When they get homesick, they leave college. So all these universities are trying to figure out, how do we get kids to stay in college? Well, they figured out a way, and we'll tell you. It involves an animal.
Yeah, okay. It's on the way. I got very homesick. Anytime I left home, if it was summer camp, if it was school, I always got dreadfully homesick and would end up back at home within couple of weeks.
I was going to say a couple hours, Hal.
Yes. Much to my parents' chagrin, you know, they thought they finally got rid of me for summer and off to summer camp, but I did not. But there was one year they showed us horseback riding, and I just really got into the horses, and that took my mind off it. So I'm thinking I know where Lori's going to go with this, and we'll find out in just a few minutes right here. But first, your calls. Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Where are you?
I am in Ohio.
Well, you are on with Dr. Debbie.
Well, hello, Dr. Debbie.
So what do you have going on with you?
Well, I have two Sheltie puppies. They are will be 8 months old the 15th of this month. And the little female, she's very tiny. She's only about maybe 15 pounds right now. And her brother is like 33, and they're out of the same litter. You'd never believe these are the same puppies out of the same litter.
It's a big difference, yeah.
Yeah, it is a huge difference. Her teeth, her front, I assume they're the canine teeth, the ones that point down and then kind of get in sync with the bottom ones, the long ones, they're coming in on an angle. They're protruding forward. At first, we didn't think she was going to get those teeth. And then they start coming in, and so now they're pointing forward, and it's kind of forcing her bottom teeth out. Is there something we need to be concerned about? I mean, I've been on the internet, and I've seen where they put braces on dogs. They pull the teeth. But when they pull the teeth, that they have complications. Is it something that we can just let her go with, or is it going to interfere with her eating, or what?
Well, generally, and what you're describing is where the canine teeth are the big kind of like the fang teeth, and particularly in Shelties, we do see this congenital deformity, if you call it that, where that big hook tooth, it is pointed forward, and it can actually interfere with the gum and cause some problems when they become more mature. Uh-huh. So it does usually warrant some intervention. And I'd say that most people tend to go to either one of two schools of belief here. One would be to extract that tooth, because knowing that it's going to create problems, it's going to get caught on the tooth, we're going to have an area where there's going to be excess tartar that's going to build up. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of veterinarians that will say just to yank that tooth, pull it, get it out of there, be done and over with it. Now, there's the other possibility of trying something of a procedure called a vital pulpotomy. Basically, it's the equivalent of cutting off part of the crown of the tooth and kind of sealing it up. So it's shorter, it's still there, we're not really damaging that root structure. Those are, probably the two more common approaches. You can do braces, and you can try to restore that bite. I don't know that a lot of veterinary dentists are really big fans of that, but there are some that will pursue that. But just knowing that that's just a future problem waiting to happen, and, you know, I would probably say yanking that tooth is going to be the best and easiest solution that I could tell you to do.
What I have read about is that sometimes this tooth evidently is as long in the gum area as it is hanging down, and that it can interfere with her sinus cavities or something.
Exactly, yeah. And actually, the way that any of those teeth on the upper jaw go is that it's kind of like an iceberg. So what you see on the outside is only part of that tooth. Uh-huh. And that deeper part goes up and does penetrate part of the sinus. So, yeah, and when it's abnormally positioned, you're going to have more of a potential for problems there.
Okay.
So when we extract a tooth like that, we know we got to take out what we see and what we don't see on that tooth. Uh-huh. And if that tooth is removed fully and completely, and that can be done, you know, with your veterinarian with the benefit of x-rays, where they take little digital x-rays of the teeth, just like when you go to the dentist and you put that bite film in your mouth.
Okay.
We do that for dogs, but they're generally asleep and sitting still, and we do those same kind of x-rays, and that'll help to ensure that that tooth gets removed fully.
So in other words,
fully.
As far as leaving it go, would her teeth be fully formed now, or are they going to get longer? Because it's kind of like, it's funny because we call her, her nickname is Elvis, because she kind of looks like she's got that curly lip, you know, when she's either got done eating or she's getting a treat or something, and then she'll look at you, and then she gets that tooth caught on her gum. And so I didn't know if her tooth was fully formed yet, or if it's still going to grow more in, and then it's going to force those outer teeth out. These are our third and fourth Shelties. We've had two other Shelties, and we've never had a problem with her teeth. And mm-hmm. they actually came from the same breeder. They are the great nephews of our 8-year-old Sheltie that we had to put down in June that was part of our family. And so now we have two tricolored ones, and we couldn't decide on just taking one, so we ended up having brother and sister now. Instead of just having one, we have two.
Oh, wonderful.
And the male, he's fine. His teeth are beautiful and perfect. It's just
yeah, and This defect does come up. It's actually technically called the term Lance canine. Uh-huh. And I think for your baby's purposes, you're going to still see some growth in that tooth. And she's still young enough that you're going to see it kind of grow even further out.
Okay.
So, you know, I would definitely...
It does warrant attention then.
Yeah, I sure would. And, you know, you may have had Shelties your whole life, but, you know, these kind of things do crop up, and they kind of, any breed, you know, a little problem can come up, a genetic defect that you never saw before if you've bred Schnauzers your whole life. So, but yeah, I think address it and you'll be on a good plane, and she'll never know the difference without that tooth done in the long run. So this is Dr. Debbie. If you have a question for me, give me a call at Animal Radio.
Hi, Patrick. How are you doing?
Good. I'm stuck down here in Houston in traffic, but I'm doing good.
Oh, gosh. Well, what kind of critter do you have, Patrick?
We've got a wolf at the house. He's a Arctic wolf, timber wolf, I believe.
And he's not a hybrid. He's actually a wolf, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's full-blooded wolf. Of course, we got to list him as hybrid and everything like that, I guess, get papers on him. But we have papers and everything on him. I spoke to my wife last night. She said he's about 140 pounds, but he's big. He's real big, but he's real slender. And I know a few other people that have got wolves that theirs are actually filled out. And I was calling to see what I could do about that.
How's his general overall health? Have you had any issues, any problems with diarrhea, vomiting, anything going on like that?
No, no.
And tell me a little bit about what you feed him, because I know for a lot of listeners, they're probably not really aware that people keep wolves as pets.
He's the best animal in the world. He is really, really good. Well, we feed him, like, dry dog food, and my wife will treat him to scraps, you know, meat scraps and stuff like that, that have already been cooked and all that kind of stuff. And that's about what he eats on his diet. I've been hearing an ad about the Dino Bite, I guess is what it's called.
Oh, yeah, I heard that ad, too.
Okay. Who hasn't heard that ad? If you haven't heard that ad, raise your hand.
So I was wondering, should we use that in order to increase the weight gain? I mean, would that help?
Okay.
You know, some kind of vitamin diet or something.
Yeah. Now, I guess one other question I have is he neutered or is he intact?
Yeah, he's intact. He's not neutered or anything.
Okay. Because in most of at least the wolf hybrids that I see, when you compare them to actually a regular dog, they do tend to be a much leaner category of dog. So they have a lot more muscle tone, but they're more lanky. So if he's lanky but in good weight, then I probably wouldn't be too worried about that. But if we're worried that he's really underweight, there are a couple things. And the one thing with diet with wolves is, you know, kibble alone definitely doesn't do it for the wolves or the wolves hybrids. They do need to have a little bit more of the meat base in it. And I'm not a fan of raw diets, and my ears burn when I talk about these kind of things. But for the wolf mixes, raw meat sometimes is very important because they have such a higher need for protein and so forth. So that might be something to maybe incorporate a bit more of that. And and you're in an area that you probably don't have a veterinarian that takes care of them. Do they come out to the home, or do you ever have them taken care of?
Well, we take them down to the vet, which is only about 8 miles from the house. He loves to ride in the car. He goes crazy when he rides in the car. He just loves it.
The reason I was asking about the veterinarian is one of the simplest things I would do is make sure that he does have a stool sample checked, to have a screening for parasites. Because, even everyday household dogs, an undetected parasite can really rob them of a lot of not only nutrition, but also kind of rob them of, good healthy body weight. So that would be something I would definitely want to check out. And if he was a little bit more showing signs of being sickly, then I could list a whole bunch of different things that I'd look at. The reality is that with a lot of these guys, when they're not neutered, they are just in lean body mass. So unless you're planning on breeding this guy, a lot of some of the behavioral problems for dogs translate over to wolves as well. So neutering him certainly would potentially have the side effect of maybe increasing his body mass a little bit.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
Your dog loves meat. That's why they'll love the new line of Red Barn dry dog food. The first 5 ingredients in each Red Barn recipe are meat, fish, or poultry. Sure to satisfy your dog's carnivore cravings. The added functional ingredients make Red Barn dry dog foods the perfectly balanced meal for your best friend. Available in land, ocean, and sky recipes. Your dog loves meat. We love your dog. Head to redbarn.com to use the promo Animal Radio for 10% off your first bag.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. Ladybug looks so cute this weekend. She's testing out her costume. Will she actually wear this costume, which it really isn't a costume?
Yeah, she'll wear it actually for the next couple weeks.
Okay. For those of you that missed it, she's dressed up in, well, she looks like a ladybug. You've painted her red, and I hope you've used safe coloring.
I did. I used Kool-Aid, so the red, it will stay on her through a few washings.
Yeah, I know that when I drink Kool-Aid, it stays on my tongue for weeks at a time.
Yes.
The red dye color.
She's going to turn pink in the interim, won't she?
That'd be pretty.
Yeah, it would be pretty.
Yes.
What are you working on over there in the newsroom for this hour?
Well, you know, famous people get all of the good things, and so do some of the famous animals. But this one gets something, it's really kind of tourist trappy. And do you know what I'm saying?
I get it.
You know, it's kind of like the Hollywood Walk of Fame in this, but it's something different, but a great honor for this very famous animal.
Okay, that's on the way in just a couple of minutes. Who else is on the way? Well, it looks like Strawberry the chicken is on the way. Strawberry, of course, the chicken that watches television. Apparently, she had her leg amputated. She needed to have a little rest and rehab, and they put a TV in front of her, and she goes crazy for this TV. And we'll be talking to her guardian and hopefully the chicken, too, and that's in just a couple of minutes right here on Animal Radio. But let's go to the calls with Dr. Debbie. Hey, Randy.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm hoping you guys can help me with my cat problem.
All right. Let's go for it. What do you got going on there?
We have the white tabby type of cat, and we've had her for 3.5 years now, and she's always been a great cat. We've never had problems with her. However, we got a puppy March of last year, a little mini pen, and brought her into the family. And ever since she came into the family, our one particular cat, whose name is Tink, likes to pee on everything. Pees in the cat box, but sneaks in the garage and pees in the gym bag or the kids' toys.
Oh, fun.
And it's only been since we got the puppy.
She peed on the puppy?
No, not yet. Oh. No, she sneaks into the garage. It's only in the garage and mine and my husband's gym bag. Or if she can't get to the garage, because if we lock it's the garage coming from our house into the garage. Or if she can't get to the garage, it's only at nighttime when no one's looking, she'll go in the kids' playroom and she'll pee in their tent.
You have a dog, and do you have other cats as well?
We do. We have two cats, and we have three dogs, and only the mini pen's the inside dog. He's inside all the time, and it only started since we got the mini pen.
Okay. How many litter boxes do you have there in that house?
We have two litter boxes, and they only seem to use the one, but we always keep two.
Okay. As far as this kitty cat, anything else going on? Are we having any other kinds of aggression issues with the other kitties?
Sometimes I can hear at night, sometimes him growling or her growling at our other cat. But for the most part, I mean, no other aggression.
Okay. So the big causes for cats to urinate inappropriately are medical causes and behavioral causes. So my first crusade is always to make sure we're not missing anything medical. So I would, if you have not taken this kitty to a vet, have her checked out, get a urine sample, make sure all is well in her urinary world. We can have crossover of behavioral with medical causes. So we really need to make sure we're not missing that aspect of things. But from there is a lot that we need to address for this kitty. And when we introduce a dog into a cat household or vice versa, you know, we always hope that they're going to get along. But that old phrase, they get along like cats and dogs, sometimes has some serious truth. And there are very big differences. It's kind of like, you know, some women can get along really well with other females and others, it's just like oil and water. So former college roommate. Won't go there. So let's just say that we need to work on making this kitty's environment more favorable for her. Now, dogs, things that cats don't like about dogs, they move fast, they make a lot of noise, and they disrupt a cat's peaceful world. So for cats that are having trouble in this situation, I recommend giving a lot of vertical escape to get away and to be superior to those dogs. Because cats, let's face it, they need to look down on dogs to say, "He, me a little dog."
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. He's infecting us all. So we want to give those vertical escapes. Those are cat trees, perches for windows, ways that we can find a peaceful zone. The other things we need to do is work on this litter box situation, because we usually want one more litter pan than we do the number of cats in a household. And that number can increase even if you have other things like two-floor houses, if you have cats or dogs that go in or outside, we want to have them at different access points of the home. So a cat might avoid going to the normal litter pan if they have to go through a doorway or an area where, say, there's noisy children,
or a dog that might come chasing after them or annoy them. So we want to make sure that we have alternate litter box sites and make those so that they're in a quiet zone where they're away from the path of other animals and people. And preferably, I hate the lids. Take the lids off the gosh darn litter boxes. Cats do not dig those. Those are some of the basic things that we'll want to do. Now, for your dog, what we should do to kind of give your kitty cat a chance is to put a bell or some kind of ringing utensil on that doggy's collar. Give her a little heads up when that dog is coming around and give her the opportunity to seek out other avenues to get around the house or to get to the toilet if she needs to do that. Okay. And there are some other things we can do, pheromones to kind of help relax the kitties and do a natural calming. But for me, I think it's all about really thinking about what cats like and don't like about dogs in their life and to recognize that they have special needs. It doesn't matter that the other cats get along with that dog. Does not matter. It's a very much an individual thing.
I hope these ideas work for you. And if you need a follow-up, we do follow-ups. I believe we're the only radio show that does follow-ups.
And well, that's good. And that would totally help. And I will talk to my husband. We'll get more boxes and put a little bell on our little penny and let the cat know that she's coming.
And get those vertical spaces. They love those.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Admit it. You love your dog, and he is part of the family. So, when choosing your next vacation, don't forget Fido. With just a little planning, the entire family can enjoy a road trip. To find the best vacation spot for Spot, subscribe to Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog, where each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, where both you and Fido are welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and find out what all the barking's about.
Hey, everybody, this is Billy Dean, and you're listening to Animal Radio.
This is an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Fear Free. Fear Free takes the pet out of petrified and puts the treat into treatment. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
I'm Lori Brooks. You know, it doesn't matter how happy you are to get away from your hometown. Virtually every college student gets homesick, and that has been associated with a higher college attrition rate in the first year for college students there. Now, loneliness and isolation are among the top two contributors to dropping out of college. So as a result, universities pour tons and tons of money into trying to figure out how to ease the transition for their students. And a new study brings some great news on that front. According to researchers at the University of British Columbia, pet therapy, of course, can significantly reduce homesickness in students who are away from home. In that study, which was published, researchers gave 44 homesick UBC students a survey measuring their sense of belonging on campus, life satisfaction, and so on, and their homesickness too. Now, these students were then divided into two groups, and one group received, how fun is this, 8 weeks of dog therapy, and that started immediately. The other was told that their sessions with real dogs, as dog therapy would begin after the first group had finished their round with it. Now, at the end of those 8 weeks, both groups then took a satisfaction survey again. But not surprisingly, the students who got the dog therapy with the real live dogs reported more real life satisfaction and far less homesickness. And the group who didn't get to do the dog therapy at all actually had an increase in homesickness. Oh. The bottom line, pets can fix almost anything. Or everything, even if you have to give them back at the end of the day.
Yeah, Dr. Debbie, you were pretty homesick at college, weren't you? You're always talking about that.
Yeah, I was actually pet sick because I had a childhood dog that I had to leave when I went away to college. And in pre-vet, I snuck a lizard into my dorm. And that I had to have a pet. I was just miserable. You know, you can't have an animal lover like a vet student and, you know, not allow them to have a pet. So that was my sneaky pet.
You never got caught on that, huh?
Well, I did, actually, yes. My resident advisor came into my dorm room, and I hid this usually in my closet when I was expecting someone to come around, but it was out of my desk, and she looked, and this was a fence lizard, and they hide under the gravel usually. So she came in and didn't see anything but crickets jumping around in the cage. And she said, "You can't have pets." And I said, "Well, I know. I'm just kind of lonely." So she thought I had the crickets as pets.
Oh.
She never saw the lizard. So she said, "You got to get rid of the crickets." She must have thought I was a kook.
You see, most girls were sneaking guys into their dorm rooms, but you were sneaking lizards in.
And crickets.
I love it.
Instagram users have been watching an energetic golden retriever named Harlow grow into a service dog over the past year and a half. And each day, Harlow is so smart, she becomes more skilled, and her Instagram page grows as well in popularity with more than 70,000 followers right now. Harlow's owner is 20-year-old Jackie Blake, and they live in Florida. Jackie, though, has an autonomic nervous system disorder that frequently causes her to faint, and she gets very dizzy and then passes out. So Harlow is now in training to be her medical alert and mobility service dog. She notifies Jackie when she senses something bad might happen, such as if Jackie is about to pass out. Jackie, the owner, says without Harlow, she would be very limited in what she can do, that even leaving the house by herself would be out of the question, let alone continuing to pursue a college education for her dream career of becoming an occupational therapist. Harlow is a huge human helper in all of this. She knows how to get her own leash, retrieve house keys, and pick up virtually anything that Jackie drops. Harlow can put away laundry. She closes the dishwasher, turns on and off lights at the switch, and picks up groceries from the bottom shelf at the store because Jackie can't bend over to pick them up. Now, when Jackie says, "Water bottle, I'm thirsty," Harlow picks up her cue, goes to the kitchen, opens the refrigerator, grabs a bottle of water from it, delivers the water bottle to Jackie, usually in the living room in her chair, and then returns to shut the refrigerator door.
Can we train Ladybug to do that? That would be good.
But she can't reach.
She can't reach the refrigerator.
Yeah, and even if you put a step stool. Yeah, but you have a step stool, then you can't open it because the stool's in the way. So she'd have a difficult time. Sorry, Hal.
Oh, well. I guess, but I think you would be training her maybe for beer, Hal?
Yeah, probably. Well, I wasn't going to say that. Yeah.
I'd say get her a mini. We could do a mini fridge.
Like get a little mini bar type of thing?
Yeah.
I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Fear Free. The veterinarian isn't typically thought of as your pet's favorite place to go. With Fear Free, that all changes. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Paul on Incredible Radio. Is that what it is?
Animal Radio.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, this is Dr. Paul on Animal Radio. You know, take care of the pets and make sure that in these hot days that they get in lots of water, and don't tie them outside in the sun because then they get a heat stroke.
Hello everyone, it's Robert Simrow, your Pet World Insider, here with this week's Animal Radio list, 7 Halloween treats to keep your pets safe. So Halloween comes around every year, and every year you hear the warning about pet safety on this night. Don't people learn, you think? Well, I and other pet experts will tell you yes and no. So for those of you who need a gentle reminder and others who need a firm talking to, here's my list of things to consider for Halloween pet safety. To begin with, while Halloween is about dressing up and candy for humans, it's the exact opposite for our pets. It's an uncomfortable horror show when the humans they observe and love turned into costumed goofballs who certainly need a week or 12 of human behavior classes. Also, if you're going to dress up your pets, here's a few tips and ideas. Never force a pet to wear a costume or an outfit. For many pets, it's the equivalent of a human being being forced to wear a wetsuit. It's uncomfortable, makes them overheat, and the embarrassment in this age of the internet may never fade. However, if your pet will tolerate an outfit, give them time to adjust to it. Put it on for short periods of time and let them adjust to wearing it and reinforce that it's not a permanent thing. Additionally, consider alternatives to full outfits. There are pet paints, pet nail polish, and pet bling that are much less irritating and just as fun. The key to all of this is pet safety and making sure that anything you're putting on or near your pet is safe for them. Next up is the trick-or-treaters. If your neighbors only dressed up as postal workers and delivery drivers, that would be upsetting enough for most pets. Add to that ghouls, goblins, witches, devils, superheroes, and much more, and you can see the confusion that your pets have. Your dog in particular instinctually wants to protect its family.
Consider giving your protector the night off by putting them in a bedroom with the TV on or music playing. Also, the doorbell is like a starter's pistol to your pups. Well, after the 15th doorbell or so, your dog figures everyone is out to get you. Don't allow your pet access to the doorway area. Consider having a please knock sign or even greeting the trick-or-treaters outside. Next up is candy and foods associated with Halloween. Please keep your pets away from all candy as it can be severely dangerous for your pets. The same goes for lit pumpkins. If they get too close, they can knock it over or even burn themselves. And a glow stick looks like a tempting new toy, which if bitten or ingested, can have extremely serious consequences. Finally, please make sure your pet's IDs are up to date and can be read easily. Halloween's a lot of fun for the family, just not our pets. Keeping them and your visitors safe is not a trick or treat, it's a responsibility. Share your Halloween tips on our Animal Radio Facebook page.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Ever wonder why you see black cats at Halloween? Well, it seems that people have had strange thoughts about black cats for a long time. In Scotland, a black cat at your door means upcoming prosperity, while in Ireland, if a black cat crosses your path at midnight, you'll get sick and die. Some people believe that if you stroke a black cat's tail 3 times, your bad luck will turn to good luck, and others believe if you pet a black cat's tail, it'll cure a sty in your eye. A long time ago, some people believed that black cats had special powers and were witches in disguise. That's why you see witches and black cats at Halloween. Most people today just think black cats are like any other kind of cat, and that's why we love them. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
Hi, this is Creston. Of course, you know me as the amazing Creston. And you're listening to me on Animal Radio. Don't forget to spay and neuter those loved ones which we've bonded with, our pets.
Alan Keeble with today's amazingly sweet love story watch.
It goes.
Owen's getting a little kiss from his dog. He's 7 years old. This is a story of how one little boy and a dog changed each other's lives. Owen has an illness that causes his muscles to constantly be tense, so it's very difficult for him to move around and do simple things. It's made him very shy and withdrawn. Well, some folks were searching for someone to adopt a dog named Hachi. He's a big Italian shepherd that only has 3 legs.
Hachi got hit by a train and then came to us.
Owen says it was a magical meeting.
First, I let him put his head on my lap, and that's what happened.
Owen's family says he's a different kid with Hachi there. Much more outgoing.
Really happy. Everything changed my life.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
Okay, yeah, so puppy pads are convenient, but sometimes they're really gross. That's why Ladybug, the Animal Radio Studio stunt dog, uses the Brilliant Pad self-cleaning puppy pad. It seals away the waste and replaces the dirty pad for us. Brilliant Pad keeps the Animal Radio Studios smelling fresh. In fact, all we have to do is replace the roll once every few weeks. And let me tell you, that's pretty fast and easy to do. I love it, and Ladybug gives it 5 paws up. You can learn more about this amazing machine over at brilliantpad.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. That could be your cats, your dogs, your flamingos, even your chickens.
Your chickens?
Absolutely. Our next door neighbors, they have chickens.
I'd love to watch them for them when they go away. It's a lot of fun.
They have so much personality.
They do. They're all different.
We see a lot of chickens at my office, and that's the overwhelming theme is people love them for their personality.
Well, you know who we have on the phone right now is Olivia Fox. She hangs out with Strawberry the Chicken. And if you remember Strawberry the Chicken, the video that went viral, apparently Strawberry likes to watch TV. Welcome to the show, Olivia.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about Strawberry. How did she come into your life?
Well, Strawberry was one of the rescues we adopted from Animal Place. She is the chicken with the most personality we have ever had. And we love all our girls, but this one has a mind of her own and is not afraid to express it.
Now, is she ill?
No. So what happened is that she had to have part of her foot amputated.
Oh, wow.
And in order to be able to recover, she had to be kept off her feet. And that's how she ended up in that suspension. Yeah. Honestly, the biggest problem that we're facing right now is I never, ever, ever should have introduced her to Pop-Tarts.
To Pop-Tarts. So she loves TV and Pop-Tarts. Wow.
And Pop-Tarts. I'm having the hardest time convincing her to, you know, go back to normal chicken food. So I have a hand extended in front of her. I wish you could see this right now. The chicken food in my left hand. She is looking at me, looking at my hand, and look at me like, are you kidding? Yeah, that's the sound she makes when she is not happy with me.
Well, no, since she had to be, just so listeners know, since she had to be off her feet, I guess you wanted to entertain her, so she was watching TV?
Yeah, what happens is that she's a smart girl, and like many of our chickens, chickens will get bored if they don't have anything to do. You're talking about a species that can do math, that can do simple math problems, that has 24 different calls to communicate, that can recognize over 100 faces. These are smart animals. They like problem solving. And so when we had her in the sling, when she didn't have anything to do, she tried to escape, but she'd get bored. And my husband finally just said, well, why don't we give her something to watch? And we turned on the iPad, and that was it. By the way, she's gone quiet right now because I've attended her with a cherry pie.
Cherry pie.
Sure, step up or down.
Boy, I don't know about her diet, Olivia. Yeah. It sounds...
I know.
Dr. Debbie wouldn't approve.
I'm thinking fatty liver disease, all I'm thinking.
she doesn't have that much... we are trying to get her to gain weight, actually, and we've done well so far, but we're always looking to plump her up. Yeah, sweetie?
So there's...
She likes it good to communicate with us.
So there's thousands of TV shows. How did you decide on one that she would actually like?
We just tried a few of them. What we learned is that, yes, she loves National Geographic. What we learned the hard way is that we should have thought of this before, but having predator reptiles on National Geographic was not the best thing for her to watch.
Or reptiles.
And so predators. Yeah, we've learned to steer clear of alligator shows.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, I'm thinking with her diet, she soon should be watching NCIS Miami or something like that.
Exactly.
What's in her future? I mean, she obviously has one leg amputated. Does she get up and get around?
So she is. It's really been a wonderfully inspiring progress. She is right now standing up. She's learning more balance, and she's walking towards the phone and, of course, the rest of the cherry pie. So you may hear her as she gets closer. Yep, that's strawberry telling you to bring on the pie.
Wow.
Yeah.
So are the other chicken picking up her bad habits?
No, they're not allowed in the house. We only have one little girl in the house called Tina, who's in the house right now because she's the runt of the litter. She was very small. And we're just praying that she doesn't pick up strawberries as food habits, because then it's like having two teenagers in the house.
She has her own Facebook page, huh?
Yes, she does. She's got more likes than my husband and I combined times 10. Yeah, she's a star of the family.
What does she post?
You know, she has such a lively personality that we have, when she's happy, strawberry purrs, and it's the most wonderful sound I've ever heard. And so we've got videos of her purring and falling asleep, and those are hugely popular. I'm sorry, strawberry is now complaining because, check this out, she has gotten to the end of the filling, and so now there's only the dough left.
Oh,
strawberry,
I hate that.
Strawberry's not happy.
I commiserate with her. I empathize. I know exactly what it's like to just get to the dough, and that's all that's left.
There you go. So the filling is gone, and she's looking at me, and nope, she won't even take the filling. Yep, there we go.
What kind of chicken is strawberry?
She's a Rhode Island Red.
A Rhode Island Red. See, I didn't even realize there was more than one type of chicken.
Honey. Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah.
Really?
There are hundreds and hundreds of types. There's a documentary that came out recently called, I think it was Poultry People. And it is the world of competitive poultry showing, which we don't take a part in, but think dog shows. There's that many. You'll get chickens that look like the weirdest creatures on earth. Seriously. Well, it's so much fun. They are the most hilarious things to watch. They really, it's like a soap opera every day. They're so serious about it, and there's feuds, and there's allegiances, and I could swear there's hurt feelings. I mean, yeah, they'll make you laugh every single day.
Well, I'm going to go check out the Facebook page right now for Strawberry, And I'll put all the links for listeners over at animalradio.com if you want to check out the videos. Just head on over there. We've compiled all of the links for the Facebook page, the YouTube videos, and some more information about Strawberry at the website there. Olivia, thank you so much for hanging with us today. And please give Strawberry a big old hug from us.
And more cherry filling.
We will. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Okay, before we let you go, we want to remind you to have a very, very fun but safe Halloween. Make sure to keep your animals away from the chocolates and all of the candies, and don't be somebody that ends up in Dr. Debbie's office on Tuesday morning.
Safe trick-or-treating.
And happy Halloween.
This is Animal Radio Network.